This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Attiki on the Fan. Giancarlo Stanton is such a unique New York Yankee and unique sports figure. If you look at his time here, it's easy to argue he's been a disappointment because he's missed so much time due to injury and at times has underperformed. But he's been a menace in October. He was incredible last October. We were talking about LCS and MVP awards and Eastern Conference Finals MVPs. Let's not forget, he was the ALCS MVP a year ago when the Yankees defeated Cleveland to go to the World Series. So Giancarlo's an interesting figure, and a story came out earlier today. Brian Hoke, who does a great job reporting on the Yankees for MLB.com, as the Yankees get set to play the Dodgers tomorrow in a World Series rematch, revealed what players have said about when they received their American League championship ring at a ceremony, I guess, before the season started at the Welcome Home Dinner when Brian Cashman presented these rings to the players.
The Welcome Home Dinner was only, ironically, like 2 weeks ago.
It was only 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I thought the same thing when it happened. I'm like, we're doing this a month into the season?
All right, well, the Welcome Home Dinner was a couple weeks ago. And when Giancarlo Stanton received the ring, he said this, quote, "This isn't the one we wanted, boys. The one we want is in front of us. I better not see any of you guys wearing these around." Badass leader, who, by the way, hasn't had an at-bat this season, but still is a presence, to which he's telling the guys almost like a warning, "I better not see you with that ring on." What do you think of that?
I love that, though. it's the loser's ring. I mean, it's cool because it means you accomplished something at the American League. You're the best team in the American League for last season, but it is the loser's ring. That's how I always looked at it. Like the NFC Championship ring. It's the loser's ring.
You don't wear that ring?
Never. I don't think I've worn it one time.
Really?
Not one time. I got it. It's in the box. I maybe taken out of the box twice.
So you agree with Carlos Rodon, whose quote was, "First loser, that's what it represented to me."
Yes. Yes. And again, first loser is an accomplishment.
Sure.
But you don't wear it. You don't celebrate getting your ass kicked like we did in the Super Bowl 35. Just don't.
I would have guessed, and I have never competed, but I got one of those replicas from 2000 where the Mets lost the World Series to the Yankees. So that's my closest. Why did I get it? It was a giveaway. It was a giveaway.
So you didn't even pay for it?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't pay.
So that's fine.
Thank you.
I thought you went out of your way and spent some valuable resource to go get a loser ring.
No, I did not do that. In fact, I have to correct myself. It's not 2000. It's 2015. Mm-hmm. The World Series they lost to the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
And the way I view it is once that era of Met baseball ended, I do look at that ring with a sense of pride. Like, yeah, the Mets got to the World Series. I'm very disappointed how it ended. I'm still devastated by how it ended, but I'm very prideful that I watched my team get to the World Series. So what I would have assumed with you and what I would have assumed with Giancarlo once his career is over is once your career is over, you can be more reflective on it and say, yeah, I wish it was a championship, but I'm damn proud of that accomplishment and I would wear it. So I'm surprised that you're saying after your career is over, no. And I guess I'm the minority, and Yankee fans are going to think the same, or Yankee players would do the same thing.
Well, my career's been over for 19 years.
And you never put it on.
I've never put it on. And that was it was 25 years ago.
I know. Well, that's what I'm surprised about. I figure this is what I would have guessed. If you said to me, Evan, guess what I do with my NFC title ring? My guess would have been you probably kept it in the box, and then maybe a few years after you retired, you're like, you know what? No. F this. I'm proud. I'm going to wear that bad boy. I wouldn't have guessed that.
It was a great season. A lot happened in that season, including Jim Fossil pushing all his chips to the center of the table. It was my first 1,000-yard year. Thunder and Lightning was born that year. It's just one of those things that just, I don't know. It's actually a wearable ring. Like, unlike the Super Bowl ring, which is so gaudy that it just looks weird wearing it. And it's like, it's obvious. You could wear the championship ring and maybe people would notice. Maybe they wouldn't. It's because it's kind of cool. But it's something I just don't have the desire to wear.
Does anybody wear them?
I'm sure some people do, but I just haven't.
I have a question, Tiki. Now, you're saying some people do. You wouldn't. You hear the Giancarlo comment. Here's my million-dollar question. Why are they getting rings? You know what I mean?
Because you were the best team in of half the league.
So I totally understand that. I think that you should get something to celebrate. But when we think of rings, they like are symbolic of the actual final championship.
Well, why not an
ALCS or NFC championship watch? Why the ring?
Honestly, no, the Pro Bowl gives you what? Did we get a watch too?
I think something else other than a ring, I think, would be better.
No, you're right. You're right. Actually, a souped up, nice, whatever, I don't know, Panerai, right? Or Breitling, because Breitling does the NFL partnership. A great Breitling that has AFC champion or NFC champion engraved in the back of it or whatever it may be. It'd be a cool watch.
But would you wear it?
Of course you would.
But you didn't
because
wear
it? It's a cool watch. It's not just a ring celebrating losing. It's a cool watch, but it also celebrates success, maybe losing as well.
It is a great question that Sean asks. Like, yeah. We think of rings as the championship, and we do give loser rings out, I think, in every sport.
Yeah, but you did win a championship. The NFC championship is a big deal.
No, it is.
But I bet because it's a ring, people are less likely to wear it because it's not the ring.
Yeah. And in general, I mean, men don't wear rings anyway, so... I mean, some do, but...
I'm wearing a ring right now. I'm wearing my wedding ring.
Your wedding ring.
That doesn't count.
You have a pinky ring?
I do not. I do not.
Like, so, just, I don't know. Not a lot of men wear jewelry like that. So it's just, it would look weird. Like, what would be the point?
I get you. Well, good message by Giancarlo Stanton. Hopefully we'll be back by the end of the month and add another dynamic to this Yankee offense, which has been incredible as they continue to win, and win. And it does set up, and we'll spend a little bit more time on it tomorrow, a very interesting weekend in L.A. Because now with interleague play, where you face every single team every single year, there's always going to be a World Series rematch. That's a guarantee. And we are getting a World Series rematch this weekend as the Yankees go to L.A. to take on the Dodgers. But here's the reality of the World Series rematch, just like the NLCS rematch that I experienced last week as a Met fan. Winning that series is not going to make you feel better. Mm-mm. It's just not. The Mets won 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. I'm happy they won 2 out of 3. Like, that's cool. But it is not ever, ever, ever going to take the sting away from the real series from a year ago.
I got one issue with the series, though. Take away the sting, don't take away the sting. Why is this series on the same exact weekend the last time the Yankees visited the Dodgers with the famous Aaron Judge toe injury?
Is it the same weekend?
The same weekend. Mm. Why?
I don't know. Probably a coincidence.
I don't like that ominous part of it. Keep us out of L.A. that weekend.
Well, I got a great idea then. Why don't you DH Aaron Judge the 3 games?
I don't like that.
Well, it's funny. Aaron Judge returned to Dodger Stadium already, obviously, because they were in the World Series last year. But he returned playing center field.
Yes.
So this is actually his return in terms of being near that chain link fence that derailed the entire 2023 season.
How about that?
And one other thing about that. Do you remember people would call up the radio station? They called up your show with Brandon. They called up me and Craig saying Aaron Judge should sue the LA Dodgers. Did you get calls like that? No? Yes? Maybe? Well, I got calls like that.
Sue them.
And it's funny, right? It's like, that's crazy. How could you sue them? Do you know what's going on right now in Major League Baseball? There is an active lawsuit where former Met Darren Ruff, remember Darren Ruff?
Yes.
Darren Ruff is suing, I think it's the Cincinnati Reds, for an injury he suffered running into the tarpaulin that he claims ended his Major League career. So there is an active lawsuit going on.
Yeah, it put him on IL, and then he never came back.
That's right.
And so he's claiming that it ended his career. And yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's got an argument.
Well, can't Aaron Judge say you ruined the Yankee season? You didn't ruin my career, but you ruined the whole season.
It's hard to say he ruined his career. He hit 62 home runs the next year, 60 home runs the next year.
It didn't ruin his season. It just ruined the Yankees season. That's what it came down to. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Nick's getting set for a huge Game 5 tonight at Madison Square Garden. Kerry in Sayreville, will you be in the building tonight for this big Game 5?
I will be. Well, first of all, let me just set the record straight with you, Evan. My friend Tommy is 1-2, which is probably the same record you have for all the games you've gone to with your season tickets this year. So give Tommy some slack. He did see a W with me. And it was a great time. So he is not 0-3. He's 1-2, same amount of times he probably
played. Well, that changes everything.
For the record, because I want to give you facts, I have gone to 4 New York Knicks games this entire season. Actually, wait a second. 5, because I have to include Barclays Center. The New York Knicks record, when I see them live, are you ready for this, Kerry? 5-0. So when I go in the building
tonight,
you need me.
We are winning tonight.
Well, of course you're winning tonight because I'm your lucky charm. You're welcome.
We're your lucky charm. You know what? Let me tell you why. Because, listen, as a Knicks fan, we've been through hell and back. You know, we've been dragged through the dirt. It's not an easy road. And at the end of the day, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? It's Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And unlike in Indiana, where you need some has-been ride the tails of Aaron Rodgers, his friend, Mr. Nobody, to play for the Colts. We don't need some guy to stand up and cheer to let us get loud. The Garden's going to be rocking. We need it. We want it. We're hungry. We're going to get a W tonight. Even though Tommy won't be there, he'll be there in spirit with me tonight, and we're going to get that W. And I hope Pat McAfee, is that even his name?
Yes.
I hope he's there to enjoy every second of it. So you can go back on his show tomorrow. Well, nobody will be watching because he's irrelevant. And we're going to win.
Wow.
It's going to be okay.
That would fire,
Kerry. Wow, she came ready to play. Tommy, can you clarify? My understanding is you're 0-3 at Madison Square Garden.
Let me think about this one. So they lost the other night. I was at the watch party. We lost in game two. No, we won the night that they went up. What the heck night was I there? When I did the video with
Sal. Was it the Celtics
series? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You did see a win.
Game four.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's what she's referencing.
So your record this season is 1-2. You've still been banned from Madison Square Garden because you're bad luck. Mm. And here's the reality.
Well, I think this might open the door for game seven.
It could.
That's all I'm saying.
I think it could.
It could open the door for game seven. If you're over three, you're done for the series.
The thing that's kind of uneasy for the Knicks fan is I'm your lucky charm. Like, the reality is, when I've seen the Knicks play live this season, but you're 5-0.
But you got to prove it.
Well, I'm proving it with the record. They're 5-0.
You got to prove it in the postseason.
Oh, okay. Does it count that four of the five games they beat the Nets? Does that count?
No.
That doesn't count?
No.
Sorry.
Also, they're not 5-0.
Yes, right, because you saw the Celtics.
You were up and watched Boston win.
Oh, I forgot. You're right. I'm 4-1. Let me correct myself.
Yeah.
So let me correct myself. The only time I've seen the Knicks win this season in person is when they play the Brooklyn Nets. Either way, I'm your good luck charm tonight.
No, you're not. You're definitely not.
Well, one thing I was battling all day was, okay, so I'm going to the Knicks game tonight in my season tickets. What should I wear? Obviously, I'm not a believer in wearing, you know, paraphernalia of a team I don't root for, so I'm not going to wear Pacer stuff. I'm not going to wear Knicks stuff, and I'm not going to wear Nets stuff. I'm a Net fan, but I wouldn't do that. The Nets aren't playing. Those are my rules. So I went back and forth, and I have made a decision. Mm. Are you ready, Tiki?
Yes, what is it?
I am wearing this shirt that I'm holding up right now.
Oh, Tommy's.
The SNY cameras.
Nice.
Yeah. Can you read this shirt, Sean?
Yeah. Jalen Brunson is a good player. He's not great. This would be typical Knicks, and I can't see.
Never ends.
And again, I think the 16 likes is important.
That's right. So good job by SNY. They put that shirt on TV. That is the shirt I'm wearing. In fact, I'll put it on right now.
It's a good Knicks shirt to have.
Is that a good Knicks shirt? Do you approve of that?
I think so, yeah. Sure.
You like
and a lot of people have them because I sold them for no dollars.
That's right.
At the Barclays.
That's right.
That looks good.
This is a very special collectible because, if you missed it, because Tiki lost our football picks prediction segment, he had to sell these T-shirts outside of a Knicks-Nets game. And by sell, you know, he ended up giving them away, which was very nice of him. And I was able to garner one of them, so I'll be wearing this tonight at Madison Square Garden. So, Tommy, you will be fully represented at Game 5.
You're a loser, dude. I mean, I can't even stress that. I mean, you're such a loser.
Why am I a loser?
You're a loser.
Why? I mean, I am a loser.
You're going to get some love, Tommy, because of that.
Yeah.
People are going to go up and chastise Evan for mocking you. And they're still going to say, you're our leader. Take us to the promised land.
If anything, you should be thrilled about this. I am putting you over in a major way. Like, why would you not want this?
Put that to the side. Take me out of it.
How can I take you out of it? The shirt represents Tommy.
You're a 42-year-old man. You're wearing my face on your shirt going to see a team that you hate win a playoff game tonight. That's what you're going to go do.
Boy,
for the season tickets that you have.
I'll tell you, Tommy, when you phrase it that way, it's kind of tough to argue.
Now, I know the game you're playing because you're either going to drink the tears or you're going to do, see, I'm a good luck charm. I'm positive, Evan. I know the game. I already know the script here. But to wear the T-shirt, too, and you swim in it. Can we get you a schmedium? I mean,
well, this was Sean's T-shirt, believe it or not.
That explains.
This was pre-orchestrated via text.
Because, believe it or not, despite this Tommy Lugauer tweet T-shirt that we created, which is not on sale. So anyone who's listening or watching is like, man, I really want one. I'm sorry. There's only 20 in the world, and they were handed out outside of Barclays Center before Knicks Nets. I never got one, believe it or not. So I needed to call up Sean and say, can I borrow yours? Because I don't even own one of these shirts.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a Jermaine O'Neal jersey tonight, so I didn't need it.
See, I wouldn't do that. That's even worse.
I just can't wait for tomorrow. That's all I'll say. I just can't wait to see my friend Evan and my friend Sean tomorrow. That's it. That's all I'll say.
Well, I can't wait to see you guys either.
Yeah, we can't wait, Tommy.
Tell me all about your experience at the Garden tonight. I'm sure you'll be welcomed with open arms.
Do you want me to do, like, video updates the way I did with you when we were in Boston?
Yeah,
like, should I provide updates with my night at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, you're going with a coalition member. Let's call him Ike Smismeglia, I assume, and you two will be sitting there like two loser Net fans, and you will watch a Knick win. And I'm sorry, that's just the case that I have to make there.
Really, what I'm so excited about is this freaking panini I'm going to get, Teak. Oh, my God. What I love about the Chase Bridge is that they got such great food up there.
Right.
And they got this panini stand. Oh, my God. And I'm going to feel like such a fat person when I say this.
And it's not overpopulated up there, right?
No. It's not. There's only three rows of seats. It's fantastic. And they got so many great paninis. I may order two. I don't even care.
Two paninis? That's a lot of bread, Evan.
You're damn right. Well, I may take some of the bread off so I can go right into the deli meats. And then James Dolan provides Luigi's ices. So I'm going to go a little ices, and a little panini tonight.
Awesome. That's a nice Thursday. That really is.
Thank you very much. And it's an 8 o'clock tip, so I got a lot of time. I get over there, get comfortable. I'm going to score the game, too. I got my tablet. I chart games sometimes, too, Teague.
How do you do that in basketball?
I like to chart the rotations. I like to analyze the way Tibbs is using his rotation. Mm. Does that make me a loser, too?
There's no book for that, though, right?
No. I create. No book yet.
So you're creating your own.
Yeah, I'm creating a new system.
Oh, yeah, that makes you even more of a dork.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When I get Tiki to actually call me a dork, that's when I know I've made it. Like, Tommy just throws it out for every little thing, but when Tiki goes to the dark side, that's when you know something good's happened. Let's go to Matt in Connecticut. How you doing, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the awesome ride home. I have a two-hour ride home every afternoon. You guys make it a lot more enjoyable, so thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Matt.
Just wanted to talk about Tibbs' job and piggyback on one of the last callers. I think Tibbs' job was safe after he won the Boston series, and for a couple of reasons. I think the first one is Knicks probably should lose that series. They're down 20 late in both of those first couple games, come back and win. I mean, if you want to blame everything else on Tibbs, that was Tibbs was on the sideline for that too, and I think it's absolutely true. Who else are you going to out and get? I think the guys like playing for him also. And furthermore, I had called a few years back someone like the Bucks that fired Budenholzer, who had won a championship, and how have they done in the last 3-4 years?
So
I think the Knicks are absolutely – I think his job was safe after he won the Boston series, Tibbs.
I think
the Knicks would be crazy to fire him.
Here's where I disagree with you, because when you use the resume and you describe the Knicks' growth – and where they've been, you're right. Like, it's so tough to argue about a coach's status when every year they're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where the discussion isn't framed the way you're framing it. This season ends, whether it's tonight, whether it's in Game 7, whether it's in the NBA Finals. The season ends. And Leon Rose and all the executives are meeting together, and they're talking about the future. Not about what's happened over the last 4 years. They're talking about the future. And they sit there and say, can we win an NBA championship? What is keeping us from winning an NBA championship? And they may look at this roster and say, yeah, we had a great run. This is fantastic. But this is going to be our fatal flaw. Our two best players are liabilities defensively. Or, hey, this head coach didn't play his bench throughout the season. This is going to be our fatal flaw because come postseason time, there was no offensive creativity. Or what I said about the bench. So it's not about the resume and deserving. It's literally about a hard black and white question. Can I win a championship with this? And if the answer is no, then there'll be changes.
Right, but where? The question is, where are the changes going to be? And I think you might be right about Tibbs because of the winning the series you weren't supposed to win. But at the same time, it does feel like there might be a ceiling. And it's not just this year or last year. It's kind of his entire career. It's always felt like he's butting up against... I don't know, the need to change, and he doesn't, or the need to adjust or find ways to, you know, outcoach the opponent. And he just never finds a way to do that. And so you have to ask yourself that question. And it's a hard question because you trust him as a coach. You trust him as a developer of talent. All we talk about all the time, all these guys that come here, they get better under Tibbs. But is that going to win you a championship?
And I think when you look at NBA history, you can bring up the Budenholzer example and it's fine and say, well, what happened to them after they made that change? But there are also a lot of examples in which guys have been fired like David Blatt in Cleveland and then it works. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
There's examples that go both ways.
But that was also with one of the greatest players of our generation.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean?
So it's different. Of course. Look, I think there's a lot of examples of coaching changes that work and don't work. But my point is not that they should fire Tom Thibodeau. But I don't think citing the resume is going to be the answer. The answer at the end of this season is going to be having a look at this roster, a look at this coaching staff, and say, can we go that next level? And it's a difficult one to answer if you're Leon Rose. This is a different world than we were 3 years ago. 3 years ago, it was just, let's be good. Let's be competitive. Let's have fun. The Knicks are back. Remember those discussions? Now they're brutal discussions. They're Can we win a championship? That's what it comes down to. Let's go to Jack in Rocky Point. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up? Good.
So, you know, I've been noticing on the defensive side of the ball with the Knicks. I'd really like to see. I see that they're getting killed on the picks. They either can't fight through them.
Yep.
Or they're getting mismatched on the switch up, and then they're chasing the ball. They're chasing their guy down the paint. I'd really like to see the Knicks start trapping guys.
Yep.
You know, they're taking it up top. You know, especially on the sidelines or near midcourt. Use that as a third defender. You cause some, you know, confusion on the offensive side, and then you got guys like Obi and Bridges with the long arms. They try to pass it. They get, you know, cause some confusion. Do something different. I'm sick and tired of.
They
got
to be more aggressive. I agree with you. And force turnovers. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton has barely turned the ball over in this series, and a part of it is they're not putting any pressure on him, not getting physical with him. Yeah. And I think that's something they need to do tonight.
But trapping it could be very challenging because think about the ball handlers there. Even Siakam, who's not really, but he kind of is. They're all huge. They're tall, and so if you trap them, they can find ways to get the ball to open an open shooter. And we know they're going to launch three pointers and to a high degree make them. So they do need to do something different because they need to catch the Pacers out of guard, so to speak. But at the same time, it could also be very dangerous to do that.
I think the other thing they also need to do is Deuce McBride needs to be on the floor more.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the mistakes that Tom Thibodeau made in game four was we didn't see Mitchell Robinson at all in the fourth quarter. We didn't see enough of Deuce McBride, who's one of their better perimeter defenders. Like, I think Tom Thibodeau,
and he can shoot.
No doubt. Like, the rotations did not make a lot of sense in game four. Andrew in Stony Brook. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, boys? Just want to piggyback a little bit on this last caller. I think it really comes down to Bridges and OG. I mean, the Knicks are pretty much gone with them. When they play well, Knicks play well. When they don't, right, they're shooting up shots and the percentage is down, they're losing. Now, to talk about the physicality standpoint, everyone's talking about Bridges and the defense on Halliburton, which is a great point. Obviously, that needs to improve. No one's saying that. But no one has mentioned the physicality on offense. The Knicks need to be putting Halliburton, you know, on his heels. They need to be driving on him, putting him in situations where, you know, maybe he's getting in foul trouble. No one's talking about making it easier later in the game if he has more fouls. I feel like pushing him when he's on defense a little bit more could go a long way down the stretch. I just want to see what you guys thought about that.
No, absolutely, because you could tire him out, and that's point of the keys. And I think that's what's happened on the other end. Look, the Pacers have done a great job of hunting Matt's matches and hunting Jalen Brunson and hunting Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. They've done a great job of that. The Knicks need to try it as well. Let's go to Lenny in Levittown. Hey, Lenny.
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you?
Good. What's up?
So, I just have a message to my fellow Knicks fans, if I may. Today, I think we're going to win pretty comfortably, 10 to 12-point game. We're going to win Saturday. We're going to win maybe 2-3-point game. They'll probably have a chance to tie at the end. They're going to miss. We're going to win. And we're going to crush them Monday night. It's not even going to be close. It's going to be a laugh there, and we're going to win in 7. Thank you, boys.
Look at that. There's some optimism right there. We're going to squeak it out tonight. We're going to squeak out game 6. And then we're going to take their soul in game 7. Now, how many Knicks fans agree with that? I don't know. But sometimes you need positivity in your life, especially when you're less than 4 hours away from a potential elimination game, game 5. Against the Indiana Pacers. I was thinking about it. What is the Knicks' history in these kinds of scenarios where they are facing elimination? And the track record is not good. Last year, Game 7 against Indiana, obviously elimination game for both teams, they lost. Year before that, Game 6 in Miami, elimination game for the Knicks, they lost. The last time they won an elimination game, it's actually a similar spot. It was Game 5 of that Miami series in 2023 when they were down 3-1, won Game 5 at Madison Square Garden to force a 6th and 7. But they were in the same spot in 2021. They played the Hawks down 3-1, and they lost Game 5. Their record in elimination games since 2000 is 3-9. So usually things have gone bleak. Right. When's facing that.
But completely unrelated to this current iteration of this.
100% game. Unrelated. Just more Knicks history for you. That's all it is. And the Knicks are trying to make history. You know, they've never come back from 3-1 down. They've never even won a series in which they lost game 1 at home, something Beningo has stressed for many, many years. So they are staring history straight in the eye. But the only way to do it is it starts tonight. It starts with 1. We'll hear from Bad Tiki coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Coming up on 4:30 on The Fan, this was one of those weeks, Teak, where every day I looked at what day of the week it was, and I was like, get me to Thursday. Get me to Thursday at 4:30 because I've that looked forward to Bad Tiki. He's become such a part of our lives that 4:30 for me at least has become, oh my God, I can't wait.
Well, it gets wilder every week.
It feels that way. He gets wilder every week. He brings friends with him.
I'm telling you, all these AI friends, it's insane.
It's insanity. So Thursday at 4:30, we can always guarantee you a conversation with Bad Tiki. Is it? He's there? Okay. Just making sure, because I want to make sure Bad Tiki's arrived. I was given a thumbs up, which means I should warn everyone. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Sriracha Bush. I hope you know it's nothing personal, but I really do hate you. When will they just put you out of your misery? Speaking of pulling the plug, how about those Knicks? Can you feel it, guys? The electricity in the city. Game 5, Knicks backs against the wall. Everyone's hyped. So much false hope. So many soon-to-be-broken dreams. I love it.
Oh, come on, Bad Tiki. You got to be pumped for tonight's game. It's going to be great. The whole city is pumped up. Heck, even Evan's going.
Thanks for the Intel prequel, Tiki. Mrs. Roberts, if you're listening, I'll be over for tip-off. I'm just kidding, Evan. I was just over there this afternoon doing some gardening, just making sure the flowers get properly pollinated. I have to say, the zucchini looking extra firm this season, and the peaches are ripe for the picking. Bad Tiki got the green thumb. Right.
Okay, Bad Tiki, that's enough. Stay focused. Knicks, game 5 tonight.
Oh, right. You're going to the game. That sounds lovely. Evan, I have to ask, is the ungrateful weasel Positive Tommy tagging along for some freebies this time?
Absolutely not. No shot. I'm doing the Knicks fan base a public service by keeping Tommy far away from Madison Square Garden. I think the Knicks actually having a fighting chance because I'm not taking them.
You may have a point. This is incredible news. And there's one person I know who'll be thrilled to hear it. Please welcome, for possibly the last time this season, AI Big Balls Brunson.
Hey, hey. It's Big Ball season out here, baby. 4-3. Bring your poncho, fam. Big Balls is Splash Zone certified. It's ISO mode activated. Call the fire department. Your boy is on fire. Big Balls blazing, daddy. Hey, what's up, Bad Tiki?
Big Balls, do I have some great news for you? My sources say the fatally cursed Positive Tommy is not going to be at the Garden tonight. The mush is off. You can go win now.
Yo, first of all, did y'all see they named a street after me? Big Balls Boulevard. Shout out to Mayor Adams. That's so fire. GPS can't even handle me. Now listen, if Positive Tommy ain't in the building, this game's a wrap. That fool is cursed. Guaranteed Knicks dub. Book your flights to Indy, baby. MSG gonna be baptized in swag tonight. Boom, boom, pow. Bring a flashlight. Big Ball shoots the lights out. Positive Tommy is the bad luck charm. Bad luck, Tommy. Bad luck, bitch boy. Kill him, Big Balls.
You know what? Enough of this, all right? I'm not a mush. I'm not a curse. I lead with the power of positivity. I was the only one to pick the Knicks against the Celtics. I am the...
Shut up, Positive Tommy. Why are you still getting speaking lines? This is 2 episodes in a row. Nobody asked for your TED Talk. Tommy, your bad luck. Accept it. But I know someone who can help with that. The official Bad Tiki Shaman AI, Aaron Rodgers.
Namaste, travelers. Oh, yes. Tommy's aura is poison, but he can be cleansed. Your spirit is clouded, my friend, but clouds are temporary. With breath, stillness, and a broth made from root and truth, you can return to your source. Let's start with a Himalayan mushroom bath, then a 6-day ivermectin and kale-only fast. This will feed your chakras. No mirrors, only reflections of truth. And of course, avoid corrupt influences like 5G towers, non-organic deodorant, and that punk, Aaron Glenn. He is inorganic and probably an attempted murderer. He tried to murder me once with fluoride water and microplastics. Never trust him. Don't drink his water. Now I must be going. I don't want to be late for the Knicks game.
Wait. AI Aaron Rodgers, you're going to the game also? Would you bring Positive Tommy?
No can do, young Buddha. I'm attending with the ghosts of Nikola Tesla and Bruce Lee. We just snorted some bumblebee pheromone and lavender foam with anti-inflammatory moon ash, harvested respectfully from a cooperative commune beehive. Got me buzzing in more ways than one. Bzzz. I got it from RFK Jr., you know, the only man not bought off by the lizard lobby. Driftwell, fellow beams of conscious flesh.
Now you did it, AI Aaron. You said the magic word. You summoned AI Mayor Adams.
Did someone say bought off? Hello, New York. It's your extremely law-abiding, not at all shady AI Mayor Adams. Do you guys like what I've been doing with the streets of New York? No, I don't mean the out-of-control crime at every intersection. I mean renaming city streets after famous New York athletes who have never won a championship. Oh, that reminds me. Tiki Barber, expect a call from my office soon. Anyway, back to shady business. Some New Yorkers believe I may have cursed the Knicks because I decided to honor the Knicks very ethically by hooking them up with some streets with their names on it. I don't see what the big deal is. I'm just a good guy doing good stuff for New Yorkers. Nothing in it for me. Vote for me. I want to be mayor again. I love famous people parties and real Tiki Barber. Bring a generous envelope and meet me at the corner of Boomer Esiason Boulevard and Matt Martin Avenue.
Oh, God. Hey, I'm Mayor Adams. With all due respect, you've done more damage to the Knicks than Positive Tommy. These signs, they're a plague on the city.
Did someone say plague? That's right. It's me, AI Fat Joe, the true cursed child of New York. I ended the Yankees World Series run. I lost an American presidency, and some believe I am responsible for the L.A. wildfires. Oops. Now it's finally my time to shine again. Now I've come to finish the Knicks. Okay. My curse is eternal. There is no escape. I'm like Thanos, but I'm from the Bronx. But real talk, Positive Tommy, you got game, bro. You have some real potential to take the torch from me one day. You put the stink on the Knicks. You got them losing road games, baby. It's obviously your fault. I just wanted to say I'm proud of you, Positive Tommy. Stay positive. We got this series locked down. I'll make us proud tonight.
Oh, come on. Okay. Let's all just take a very deep breath. This game is not about curses. It's about the players on the floor. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Carl Anthony.
Blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Elder Tiki, for being the adult. But Tommy, you're going to want to hear this. We've got your favorite ex-follower on the line. Say hello to my newest creation. He's super famous. He's a Knicks fan. It's AI Ben Stiller.
Hey, guys. It's me, AI Ben Stiller. Tommy, I followed you because you led us past the Celtics. What a prediction and an accomplishment. I was in Along Came Polly. I wanted to invite you to sit with me. Spike Lee, Timothy Chalamet, and Turtle from Entourage. No biggie.
Wow, Ben, can I call you Ben? By the way, loved you in Dodgeball, loved you in Zoolander. Now, how does this work? Do you, like, email me the ticket? Should I email you? What's the
deal
here?
I can't do that now. You're a jinx. You're the reason this team is melting down. I can't have bad vibes in my seats. I was in Dodgeball, something about Mary, the secret life of Walter Mitty. I cannot have you ruin the game for me and Timothée Chalamet. You're out. I'll have to take someone else now, someone who is not cursed and doesn't suck. No biggie. Bad Tiki, who is this creature with the glowing eyes staring at me from the shadows?
Oh, that's negative, Tommy. Not enough of this movie. Lives in a world of his own torture.
Look what you did, Positive Tommy. You killed the Knicks. You ruined your chance to sit with Zoolander and Willy Wonka at the Knicks game. Ben Stiller saved you a seat, but you blew it. Juan Soto is fat and hates being a Met. That's because of you. This is why you can't have nice things. All this positivity. Look what it's gotten you. You loser. No biggie. No biggie, you said. Now look at us, down 3-1 to Tyrese friggin' Halliburton.
I love this guy. Negative Tommy, you're coming with me. Sit right between me and Chalamet. Move over Larry David and Russell Wilson. Make way for Negative Tommy. I was in Night at the Museum.
Thank you, Ben Stiller. I won't let you down. But wait, what if I let him down? What if he unfollows me on X? What if he doesn't offer me a role in Tropic Thunder 2? This is a disaster. If the Knicks lose, I will lose. I will lose my friendship with Greg Fokker and my entire celebrity future. What if Timothy Chalamet doesn't like my screaming? What if I say to Ben Stiller, I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? It's a funny line, but he probably gets that all the time. It's so unoriginal. This is your fault, Positive Tommy. You exposed me to Ben Stiller and Timmy Chalamet, and now they want to be my friends. How am I supposed to keep up with this act? I can't take it anymore. No, Biggie, you idiot.
This has gotten out of control now.
Well, there you have it, folks. My work here is done. You're welcome. Good night to the Knicks. They will be missed. Okay, I gotta go now. Never forget, I hate you guys, and I hate spending my Thursday with you. Positive Tommy is cursed. Sean is very big. Bad Tiki, out.
Holy crap. Bad Tiki and all his friends are sentient AI-generated beings. They are not affiliated with or representative of the real persons. They're all AI. Their views and opinions are expressed by Bad Tiki and his friends. They do not reflect those of the real Tiki Barber, the real characters they're playing, FAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber and all his friends are real people with their own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed in the Bad Tiki segment. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discerning with the Bad Tiki segment.
Mm. Wow. Ben Stiller.
Epic.
Who knew Ben Stiller? AI Ben Stiller was going to make an appearance.
And Negative Tommy gets to sit next to the Jenner sisters? What the heck is that about?
What a victory.
Should we be jealous.
Yeah, well, I am. Should we mention all the friends, too, while we're at it? Fake Mayor Adams, fake Aaron Rodgers.
I lost count.
Fake Fat Joe, fake Ben Stiller, Negative Tommy, of course. Did I miss anybody?
Big Balls Brunson.
Big Balls Brunson.
AI Rodgers. Did you get
AI Rodgers?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. They are
AI Mayor Adams. Yep.
They don't represent the real people. Exactly. Just want to make that very, very clear.
AI Ben Stiller. Yep.
Yeah, we got them all. I think we hit it.
Yes. Fat Joe.
Sure. Every Thursday at 4:30, exclusively here on WFAN. Let's go to Jimmy in Sayville. How are you, Jimmy?
Good, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up,
man?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the fans and Soupy Sales, I got 2 points. One on a friend over there in Rice Field, and one on the what's the other game going on? Anyway, Soto.
What's the other game going on? Yeah. Go ahead.
I've been in the garage a little bit too much today. Anyway, fun. Soto got no arm. Can't throw to second base. Can't throw to third base. Can't throw home. He's always throwing these little skippers down to worm burners. And it's ridiculous that he's getting paid that much money.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. That is not the issue with Juan Soto. Mm. Like, I said this the other day, and I stand by it. His defense has been fine in right field. His base running has been fine. The issue with Juan Soto is 226. Yes. The issue with Juan Soto is the lack of big hits with runners in scoring position. He's not producing. If he produces, his defense is fine. His base running is fine. He needs to produce like he has throughout his major league career. That's the issue right now with Juan Soto.
Yeah, 130 with runners in scoring position is not going to cut it. And it's interesting because you look at the other highly paid guy who is Shohei Ohtani, who right now, really for the last year plus, all he is a hitter. Right? He's not. I mean, he's starting to maybe start pitching again, but we haven't seen him as a pitcher again. And be honest with you, if you're the Dodgers, what the hell do you need him for to be a pitcher? Just be great as a hitter.
Well, I think they need him because their pitching isn't very good.
True.
So you're right.
True.
They already have a great player, but I think they realize that they're just so much better if they can add that weapon.
I agree, but you also risk another injury and another setback, and who knows what's going to happen. I'll be really interested to see how often Shohei Ohtani pitches. Anyway, it's not the point. The point is, he's there. He got paid that much because he hits 50-plus home runs every year and now increasingly stealing 50 bases, right? He's an offensive production maker. That's what Juan Soto was supposed to be. So when everyone calls and starts talking about his defense, who cares? That's not why he's making $70 million a year. It's because he's supposed to be a great hitter, a great offensive producer for the Mets. And eventually, he'll become that. It's just right now he's going through something, and it sucks. But it's just the reality of the sport that they play.
The best part about Soto's struggles is that the Mets are winning despite him. Like, things will get much uglier in this town if his slumping continues and the Mets are losing consistently. And that hasn't happened yet. So despite his awful, awful numbers over the last month, despite lacking the big hit all season long, despite how bad it's been taking an 0-for against the Chicago White Sox, they won 2 out of 3 against the Chicago White Sox. And the end result is we want wins as fans. When the poor play starts affecting the bottom line, that's when he's really going to face the heat. Now, as you can imagine, Juan Soto's been a big discussion around here over the last couple of days and really this season. And earlier today, I was called upon. I was called upon to try to save Juan Soto. As you know, Tiki, because you sit next to me, last year, I grew a beard. I grew a beard for Pete Alonso.
You did.
And that has gained legendary following. Mm. So earlier this morning, while talking about the Juan Soto slump, our very own Boomer Esiason.
Boomer Esiason!
He got desperate as a Met fan. He's like, we got to do something to get Juan Soto going. Take a listen as he and Gio try to figure out, like, if somebody should die, if there should be a sacrifice.
Someone should die. Something. What? Come on.
I mean, listen, that's not me. Just ideas on how to get Juan Soto going. And, of course, it came back to me doing something. Take a listen to Boomer Esiason.
Well, maybe we can, like, I don't know, somebody around here.
Sacrifice somebody around here?
Yeah, I don't mean like, you know, kill them. I mean, like, I don't know, do something to change the mojo.
Okay. Yeah.
Evan's big into that, right? I mean, he grows a beard, then he doesn't grow a beard, you know, then he dyes his hair, dyes his beard.
He does do all that stuff.
I mean, maybe we shave his head or something.
So his idea, and I appreciate this, Boomer, is, hey, we got to get Juan Soto going. Maybe I can shave my head. I'm going to tell you why, respectfully, that's not happening.
By the way, do you take the disparaging comments about dyeing your hair and dyeing your beard to heart?
What was disparaging about it? I didn't find any insult in it.
They're saying that you dye your hair. You don't dye your hair.
No. He was saying I dyed my beard, not my hair.
Did you? No, he said you dye your hair, dye your beard. Did you dye your beard?
Yes. Remember, to get out of the Pete Alonso beard.
Yeah. Last year, got it.
I dyed my beard all sorts of colors. Like while you were telling,
I almost forgot about that.
I know. Well, some people don't because when you were telling Saquon Barkley he was dead to us, I was sitting there next to you with a purple beard. And I'm telling you, half the people that saw that video was like, "What's that guy doing?"
Right.
So. I'm not going to do anything for Juan Soto. I want to make that perfectly clear, and I want to explain why. I grew that beard out of a loyalty to a lifelong Met that I hoped the Mets would keep. That's what it was about. It was about extending Pete Alonso, who had already done so much for us as Met fans. Juan Soto has done nothing for us. So, no, I'm not growing my beard. I'm not cutting my hair. I don't do that for everybody. I don't do that for anybody. I do it for someone who had earned it, who had earned our loyalty and respect. And I was trying to do something that maybe would make a small difference with the Met front office. Maybe David Stearns would say, screw it. I'm going to extend Pete Alonso. Look at that disaster sitting there on WFAN. And well, I don't know. Maybe it helped contribute to that 1-year contract. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm not doing anything for Juan Soto. You know who's got to do something for Juan Soto?
Who's that?
Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Like, you got to earn that around here. I'm not just some kind of sheep. Like, I'll do something when you earn it. When you show loyalty to us, when you perform for us, I'll give you anything. Like, a couple of years ago when the Nets were good, Spencer Dinwiddie had a finger injury. You know what I offered him?
What?
My finger.
What?
Yeah, he turned it down. It was very nice of him. Yeah, I said, if that'll help you get back sooner, here's a finger. And Spencer wrote back to me and said, look, appreciate the love. Yeah, let's not do that. I think that's what he said. But Juan Soto, like, I'm glad he's a Met. We all celebrated him being a Met. This is on you, bro. This ain't on me. I'm not cutting my hair. I'm not shaving my beard. I'm not growing my beard. That is not happening. So I appreciate the creativity of Boomer, but no, it's not coming from me. Maybe Sal will grow his hair out. That's what I think he should do. Mm. He's the biggest Juan Soto supporter here. Just grow his hair out. That would actually be a really good idea to get Juan Soto going. Isn't that a good idea, Teak?
No, not really. Because I think it'll look bad. It would look like my hair if I grew it out. Or Sean's hair if he grew it out.
I don't see
or BT's hair if he grew it out.
I don't see the problem.
Get out! It would look ugly. At least your beard was kind of cool.
Well,
I kind of started to like your beard.
Well, that's the funny thing.
So, you look badass with a beard.
It's funny.
But if Sal grows his head out, it's going to look bad.
It would look bad. It's funny you say that because the conversation continued this morning with Boomer and Gio, and Gio kind of said that in a way about my beard. Take a listen.
Well, maybe we can, like, I don't know.
Not this clip, the other one.
Somebody around here?
Not that one.
He looked actually not so bad when he wasn't dyeing his beard. If he had just cut his hair, he looked so much more like a... like an actual man when he had that beard. And he just does not when he's clean shaven.
But I think maybe middle of June, if Juan Soto doesn't start to wake up.
We'll do something.
We got to do something to Evan.
We'll do something. Shut your mouth.
Okay.
I got, they'll do something to me. Like, right,
I thought they were going to say, we'll do something. We'll figure out something to do for our show.
No, I'm
dead. Do something to you? Come on.
I'm dead serious. I won't do anything for Juan Soto.
Don't mess with our show, Boomer. It's not okay.
I believe in loyalty, and I believe in responding and helping the people that have done for us, and we do for them. I'm happy Juan's a Met. I want Juan to start hitting. He's got to figure this out on his own. Like, the support I'll give him is I'll show up to Citi Field and I'll cheer his ass, which I do. I'm not booing him. I won't boo him. Met fans can do that. I'm not doing that. That's as far as I'll go. You got to earn me growing a beard for you the way Peter Jefferson Aloysius Alonso earned it. So it is far different. Now, as far as looking like an adult is concerned, you kind of agree with him, right, Teak, that I looked a lot better with a beard?
You looked like a badass. I like the beard, especially when you started grooming it, because there was a while where it was just roughshod and it was all over the place. But then you went and got clipped up and trimmed up. You look dope, man. I liked it.
I'm going to have to consider bringing it back now.
Bring it back, dude.
I mean, you're
Don't do it for Juan Soto.
No.
Do it for baseball.
Do it for baseball.
Yeah.
Do it for baseball.
It's your baseball. It can become your baseball season tradition.
Oh, I know what I'll do. I got it. You know what? I got a way to finagle this without actually doing it for Juan Soto. Because I can't do it for Juan Soto. It's against my beliefs in loyalty. I'm going to do it for the Mets. For their ability to finally hit with runners in scoring position. It's going to be a runners in scoring position
and
beard.
That's primarily Juan Soto and Mark Vientos, who are both hitting 130 or less now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, T, it's everybody not named Pete Alonso. Like, everybody, and Luis Torrens. Like, everyone is sucked with runners in scoring position, so I will grow a beard out to rally them, and then I'll groom it. So as Gio says, I can look like a real man or an adult, whatever he said. He is probably right, because my wife said that, too, that I looked better with the beard. Now, she doesn't think I look like a child without the beard.
No.
I look younger without the beard, right?
Let me ask you a question here, Evan, and I'm not implying that this is what Gio or Teak or your wife are saying, but, like, I have a beard. Sometimes I have it. Sometimes I don't. When people tell you you look better with a beard, is that their way of saying you're ugly?
Yeah.
And you're covering your face?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's not true. I just think some certain people just look cool with beards.
Yeah, now I'm starting to think that my wife thinks I'm ugly because she even said I looked better with the beard. But a groomed beard, not the hairy monstrosity that occurred when I let it continue to go.
Yes, if you're going to grow a beard, Evan, it's got to be groomed.
No,
I don't want to sit next to a quasi-homeless man
like I did last year.
That was a very tough 9 months for Tiki.
Looking like the caddy from Happy Gilmore.
Exactly. Tiki was having major regrets about agreeing to do the show with me for those 9 months. He's like, what did I decide to do?
Who is this person?
Yuck. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. We will get back to your phone calls. And what are the keys to the New York Knicks extending their season tonight?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.